Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for your grace. Rely totally on you and your Holy Spirit to direct our path, direct our ways, correct our thoughts, adjust our attitude, bring us into a relationship with you that pleases you in everything we do. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit, and by your Holy Spirit, draw us into a place in your presence that made a difference in our gathering together today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, my disclaimer is Bible 101, nothing you haven't already heard, but the amazing thing is the Holy Spirit can make it new again. So no matter what I have to share out of his words, the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing that into a personal, intimate language of your heart that speaks to you only the way he can speak to you. So it's not what I've brought, it's what he brings constantly if we have an open heart towards him this morning. What I want to do is, I thought, what can I say that hasn't been said already about eternity? Mike, Aaron, Kevin, Matt, John, everybody's spoken on some aspect of eternity. And so for me, what I felt like I want to share on the word preparation. To me, that's key in everything. That's a God word for me personally. And I think, I mentioned this before, I think everybody kind of has a life verse. It's like the rudder on your boat when things are challenging. There's always a verse or something that sticks with you or comes to your mind or your heart. Well, to me, there's also a word that I think God has planted in our hearts. And for me, it's preparation's a big word. Remember is a big, big word. Those things that we capture along the way that God is speaking to us, we should write it down. We should create a memory. And so reading through scripture, trying to prepare for this morning, was overwhelming, to be quite honest with you, because I found out that looking at eternity, it's spoken of in just about every epistle that's in the Word of God, and certainly the Gospels, and all over the Old Testament, about heaven, inheritance, a country, to see the unseen, beyond ourselves. Over and over and over again, Scripture talks about life beyond ourselves, and I think that's what brings us together this morning. There's a dozen things we could be doing other than meeting here. But God delights in our meeting and encourages us to meet together, not because I've got it together or I've got the word of the day, but the Holy Spirit will take his word, as he constantly does, over and over again. We've read the book, but it always speaks in a new way to us. Every verse, he opens it up to us. He changes our heart. He changes the way we think, the way we act, the way that we talk, the way we treat people. It's because of his word. So looking at scripture, I was overwhelmed because I couldn't read anything but not see eternity rubber stamped in his word. There's a part of scripture where God says, eye has not seen, ears not heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now that blows my mind. God, when he started out with creation, he had this whole game in mind and preparation for us along the way, way ahead of us. He knew us in our mother's womb before we were born. He knew us before time. He created time. He has done everything. He's so well prepared. Prevenient grace, reaching out to us, touching our lives, doing things in us and through us, is just an example of God's personal interest in seeing us walk with him to a place beyond ourselves. That's what keeps us in the game, isn't it? I mean, what keeps us going day by day, week by week? It's a vision and a hope, like Mike said, a hope for the future. So we're living today with our eyes on something way down the road. We don't know how long our road is. 50 years, 80 years, 100 years. We don't know. But our life, our purpose, our goal is towards Him in the future. If this was all there was, I think our lives would play out a little bit differently than it does. But, you know, we're willing to sacrifice, give, share, provide, open our hearts, do all these things because of what God is doing in us for the future. It's not payday today. However, He is so delighted every single day and delights in us when we do the smallest acts of obedience for Him. So, what can I say about eternity? I don't know. I don't know. Our past and present experiences are all for His purpose. Everything that we've been through last week, last year, the last decade, the last 20 years, all those difficult issues have played into us being who we are and where we are today. Eternity is in our heart. Everything we do is focused on the future, not just today. We can't change the past. And what God is speaking to us, there's a story of a fellow went up to three bricklayers, and he said, "What are you doing?" The first one said, "I'm laying bricks." He asked the second one, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm building a church." He asked the third one, "Well, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm building the house of God." There's a big difference. You can have a job, you can have a career, or you can have a calling. And within your occupation today, it might feel like a job, but you can make it a career. If it feels like a career, I think God wants to make it a calling. You can have a radical change in your occupation by not even leaving where you are, because God has employed you where you are to be employed by Him to do what He wants you to do, which is always rub up against difficult people, challenging principles, difficult organization, all of that. But it's how you look at it. Are you in a job or a career or a calling? I think we're all in a calling, but we don't often see it that way. And when we see it as a calling, that makes all the difference in the world, no matter what we're doing. Whether you're a lawyer, accountant, salesman, whatever, it makes a lot of difference. Can we bring up Philippians 3, 7 through 12? Somewhere, somehow. Okay. "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." That speaks of eternity. "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that." Let's stop right there. Now this is personal. This is God talking to you. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that. What is your that? What is that that God's interested in? What is it in your life that He's interested in? "But I press on so that I may lay a hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." You can roll another one. Next. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." That speaks of eternity beyond today. Look, I press on toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, that speaks of the future. That speaks of God having a particular call on your life that does affect eternity, influences others, right where you are, right where you live, right where you work. It creates a calling beyond a career, beyond a job. And God, what is the that in your life that God is working on? There's another scripture I like, Isaiah 66:1. Can you bring that up? Doesn't that air feel good? Sixty-one one. Got my numbers mixed up. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to what? Fill in the blank. Stop reading. Put a long blank there. This was God's Father's personal call for Jesus. But for us, what is that call? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Okay, He is. We know that. Because the Lord has anointed me. He's anointed you right where you are to do what you should do to bring good, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. What has He done for you? What has He called you to do? There's a blank there. God has called you, anointed you, set you in a position in life where you are today, people you influence, people you affect, people you talk to, people you have in your life, and neighbors and on. But there's a reason for that, and it's for influencing eternity. It's to touch their lives. It's the Spirit of God that's changed us, that gave us a vision to see the unseen. We can see the unseen, can't we? Of course we can. The unseen is more visible in our lives than the seen at times. What we see on a day-to-day basis is difficult, is hard. It can encroach upon us and trap us. But looking beyond, seeing the unseen, what God has done, what He is doing, what He wants to do, where He wants to take us, He wants people to go along with us. That's a reflection of eternity in our hearts that's being played out a day at a time in relationships. That's why when we talk about honoring Kevin, that's exactly what's been happening. Our lives have been changed by the Spirit of God touching our hearts, and in response to that, making connections relationally, and those who mix together, who walk together, influence one another, talk to one another, encourage one another. That's what keeps the motor running. That's what keeps our focus on the unseen beyond the day-to-day. That's what keeps the motor running. That keeps us going. One experience that I've had in life is losing my grandmother and Grandma Kitty. She was 105, a real tough little gal. And she passed away, and so my uncle called me and said, "You need to be back here for the memorial service." And I said, "Well, I will be." And he says, "Well, you're one of the pallbearers too." I said, "I'm delighted and honored to be part of that." So I flew in back to Iowa, got there the morning of the service, got a car, got to the church, and nobody was there yet except for my uncle and a couple of people. And he said, "Hey, Bill, do you want to see Kitty one last time?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Okay." So we pop open the casket, and I look, and I go, "She's not here." Her body was there. But I knew in an instant, Kitty wasn't this, she was beyond that. It was her personality, her spirit, who she was. She's gone. She's with the Lord. But there was the form, the shape, the appearance. But it was like the Holy Spirit said, "Bingo. She's gone. And I thought, wow. It was one of those moments where eternity pressed on me that we're living for way beyond right now, way beyond today. So that's what helps us in our relationships with Him and each other to sacrifice, to give, to share, to encourage, to be able to be talked to by another person in a personal way for your benefit, which is very difficult at times. But having the perspective that this is a gift of God for me, to have Will say, hey, Bill, can we talk? I've noticed blah, blah, blah. And I get defensive, and then I say, wait a minute, I'll try and listen. God, is that you talking? I think so. He usually uses Shay more often than Will, but nonetheless, people talking to people, iron against iron. It's part of the process of eternity that God is working in us to help us draw closer to Him and one another, that creates this community of grace and forgiveness that keeps us in pursuing the unseen, pursuing the God of our life, of our heart. When I get ready to share, I always freak out. I get excited. I want to know what He wants to say. I don't want to stand up here and spend time blabbing away. I want this to count for something, because God counts for something. And to represent and share out of His word is sometimes crushing, because I got to know that He wants to say something. I have to hear from Him. As Lindsay said it best up here when she did it as well with My Soul. Kevin asked her to sing that, and it wasn't one of her favorite songs, not one of my favorite songs, but to posture yourself and put you in a place that you have to deliver the bread. God's asking you to share His word with others, and you can't make it up. You have to go to the mat and wrestle and ask and read and pray and wonder, what's He going to do? What's He going to say? My confidence is in whatever I say doesn't matter. What He says this morning matters. And I've encountered it 100 times as well as you have. When Kevin's sharing, Matt, Mike, John, Pat, David, whoever, the Word of God comes across beyond the English that I'm using. There's God kind of dials in on us. And what I'm saying, you already know. This is Christianity 101. But what's so great about God, He continues to do that. He continues to speak to us personally. It affects us personally every day. And because it affects us, it influences us to affect others. That makes all the difference in the world. It certainly changed my life. People talking to me about God. Are you kidding? I wasn't interested. But I heard something beyond what they were saying. And that's what we're talking about today. God speaks beyond whatever I'm sharing with you today. Because all I'm trying to do is reflect what's in His Word. Disclaimer, none of this came from me. It's not original with me. It's original with God. But He says it in so many ways, in so many languages, in so many people's lives, in so many ways, that's what changes it. It changes us. And it launches us outside of today. We have to live outside of ourselves, beyond ourselves. If we live just for our own little delight, it's miserable. It's just miserable. Living within His boundaries and His commandments and His love launches us into a place that we experience beyond all we could ask or imagine. There again, those are God's words, not mine. All beyond you could ask or imagine. That's what God supplies. Way, way, way beyond. Scripture says, fight the good fight. We talked about that at the men's retreat. Kevin talked about that. He shared that with us. Fight the good fight. Gary said this, finish the course. Finish strong, finish well. Keep the faith. If we can do those three things, I think we're focused. We can, you know, make today count. Fight the good fight. It's a good fight, but it is a fight. The enemy is not going to sit back and just let us go on our way. Pursue God, and the enemy will show up at your front door, guaranteed, and turn your life upside down if you pursue God. Guaranteed. I've seen it. I found out myself. I've seen it in others. Pursue God, and it brings the heat. But it brings strength in Him to fight the enemy and go forward. There's no effort without error. We're going to goof up. We're going to drop the ball. We're going to make a mistake. We're going to trip and fall along the way. Guaranteed. As hard as we try, it's just going to happen. But it isn't fatal. The game isn't over. I love college football. Every Saturday, I could just stay glued in front of the TV. But what's encouraging, you see these games, I get wrapped up in them because I love it, but they are playing their heart out. And a guy will have a great game and he'll drop the ball. And the coach doesn't pull him out. He leaves him in the game. It's not over. It's not done. Get up and go. So failure is not, it's the best thing about failure is it'll teach us success. Our mistakes, we learn more from our mistakes than we do from our successes. Because we'll never forget those mistakes. They stick. You had a good day, everything went well. Well, you're pretty happy about that, but it just passes. Do not let temporary setbacks become permanent excuses. Again, we're thinking of eternity, looking forward, making a mistake. Don't let a temporary mistake become a permanent excuse for not pursuing God. Because what we will do, we will get offended by a family member or someone close enough to us that can hurt us. And it's typically family because they're so close. They know us so well, they can push our buttons. But we can't blame God and take ourselves out of the game because we got offended and walk away and put it on Him. And now I don't go to church, I don't pray, I don't read the Bible, I'm over that religious stuff because I got hurt. Look at the gospel. Look at what Jesus went through. He had 6 or 7 brothers or sisters. It's in Scripture. He had 4 brothers, and I think he had at least 2 sisters, maybe 3. And I could take you to the Scripture and show you that. But and names his brothers, by the way. And nowhere else in Scripture does it follow through with his family followed him, got behind him, got in his corner, were excited for him. I mean, that's family. That hurt. His closest companion tried to give him a shortcut. You don't need to go this way. There's an easier way out. You don't need to give up your life. Let's take the shortcut. Let's take the easy road. The closest one to him was ready to betray him. And then another betrayed him. And then they scourged him. Spit on him. I mean, he's been through it. What the Father gave us in Jesus and what he went through on our behalf. If you're having a bad day, just go to the Scripture and read that part. And that'll say, what am I complaining about? I've got a vision for the future. I can live beyond the offense. I can see God restore relationships. I've seen it happen. And in family, nonetheless, the ones that are closest to you, that can hurt you the most. When God brings his grace that we sang about today into that relationship, and you're not keeping count, and you're willing to give, God can make amazing things happen within our families. I've seen it personally. I've seen it happen. I've seen God at work. John Wooden said, success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's courage that counts. Another prophet from the New Testament, Gary Urban, said, and I'll never forget this, because this is what I'm talking about. I could have used this phrase and we could have just gone home. A year from now, Bill, it's going to be a year from now. I'll never forget it. Because what he was speaking to is, if you want to write a book, it starts today. If you want to learn the guitar, it starts today. If you want to learn to dance, tap dance, it starts today. If you want to learn to be an accountant, it starts today. Because you know what? A year from now, it'll be a year from now. And if you haven't started today, a year from now is going to be no different than today. That's looking beyond towards something, a goal and a prize for the upward call of Christ Jesus in our heart. What does he put on our hearts to get us up off the couch mentally? And he will take us to places and do things with us that have never, ever happened before. I've thought about writing down first-time experiences, and I don't think there's enough paper in the world to do that. First-time experiences in the natural. First time you went swimming, rode a bike, played baseball, climbed a tree, had a slingshot, rode a bike, got in a fight. First-time experiences. How about there's first-time experiences still, no matter what age we are in life right now. There's first-time experiences. And we face it mentally and say, well, I've never done that before. So what? There were a million things we'd never done before until we had done those things. God is full of first-time experiences over and over and over again. Because with first-time experiences, he brings into our heart a lively relationship, a delight, a contentment, an excitement, enthusiasm, surprise, to do something that we have never done. It happens every day, if we allow it. We would typically pull back with the same excuse, I've never done that. I can't do that. Of course we can. Of course we can. In him, he's got an upward call. Keep climbing the mountain. Just go with me. I'm with you right now. There's no reason we can't do this. That's not a good enough reason why we shouldn't do it. Press on toward the call of the first-time experience that I've never experienced before, I'm willing to experience now. Because he's with us. He's bringing us along. That's what makes life exciting and keeps pushing us up, inching us up. Daily obedience is a short step in a long direction. Just a day at a time. That's all we can do, is a day at a time. You can't do anything about yesterday. It's done. Tomorrow's not here. But today counts for something. This day counts. This day counts. Time doesn't foster maturity. Difficulty does. God is in the small stuff, the difficult day-to-day situations. And like Aaron Spinello, the other prophet in the New Testament, said, God doesn't waste anything. Any difficult time, any difficult day, any argument, any fight, any misunderstanding, any miscommunication, anything. God is in all the small stuff, and nothing is wasted, especially the difficult times, more than any. God doesn't waste that. He's preparing us in our hearts toward eternity. And along the way, there's a thought that comes to my mind. And I think of my day, I get called home. I'm hoping I show up at the right address. I hope it's with him upstairs. But my fear, for lack of a better word, would be to be ushered into heaven, and he's prepared a place for me. And whether it's a pup tent or a mansion, it doesn't matter. What matters is him. But I would hate to show up at the pearly gates and go, see, you're Jesus, right? No, I'm just one of the angels. Are you Jesus? No, I'm just an archangel. I want to have known his voice clear enough here and now So on the other side, through the thin veil, I know immediately who my master is. And I want to start that today. I want to know today his voice so that I don't just go wandering in having no clue. I got in on grace without a relationship or a small relationship. I want it to be intimate. I want it to be family. I want it to be the best. But I don't want to, you know, flounder around and wonder who he is. I want to know what he looks like, not in the physical sense. I want to know his voice. I want to know him. And for me, bridging eternity, a year from now, it's going to be a year from now. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your presence, your grace that we sang about, your loving kindness, your care, your interest in the small stuff, your call on our lives individually. Lord, we're grateful for where we are right now today. We're not trying to speed up the process, not trying to be something we're not, not trying to be somewhere we don't belong, not trying to do some things that you haven't called us to do. Lord, I pray that you would give us all first-time experiences this week, that you challenge our hearts and draw us closer to you like you've done over and over. Your loving kindness is amazing, and your grace is forever. Thank you for this day. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Thanks.